YouTube gets rid of comments on videos featuring kids. Kinda good job, YouTube. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. YouTube announced Thursday that it has turned off the comments feature on tens of millions of videos that feature young children. This is after a bunch of advertisers pulled out of YouTube because of pedophiles flooding the comments sections on videos featuring young children. So yeah, on that front, this is a very welcome move. But it's also complicated. Creators on YouTube do rely on comments to create their communities. And it can make us a little nervous when platforms that rely on user-generated content show how much control they really have. Kelly McBride is Senior Vice President with the Poynter Institute for Media Studies. She says another issue is that tools that scan for certain types of content just don't always work.
As I was looking through a bunch of videos that I'm familiar with because I have children and they occasionally post things to YouTube, I could see that not everything was caught by YouTube's mechanism right now.
Well, and then I guess that begs the question, YouTube has promised screening before. Google has, Alphabet has as a company. You know, we'll figure out a way to screen fake news out of the Google News product and it inevitably pops up. Is it just going to be that much more infuriating for people if and when these tools don't work?
Well, what we can never figure out is when the tools don't work, if they don't work because there are so many guardrails on them so that the tools don't undermine the core functionality of the platform, which is to keep you on the platform and to keep serving you up content so that they can keep serving you ads. Or if the tools don't work as well as we want them to, because it's just hard to engineer them and we haven't advanced that quickly, that fast. So, you know, unless you have an insider who's actually working on these tools telling you which one it is, we just never know from the outside. We generally assume the worst, though.
Well, and then, you know, right now we might all be happy pedophiles are being stopped, but it will inevitably lead to a conversation about how much power these platforms have over speech, right?
Right, and political content, which, you know, Facebook got really nervous about that because Republicans and conservatives were criticizing Facebook. They still seem to be a little spooked by that conversation. But that's ultimately what it gets to is, do you have the ability to screen out certain political messages and boost other political messages? And if you have that ability, are you actually doing that?
Does all of this argue for just private spaces? It feels like one of the things that we're finding is that the idea of lives as content that is publicly available and monetizable and therefore commentable might just be not a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, the reason that public spaces work is because they can scale and then you can convert them to advertising. But the reason that they don't work for much of the public is because you're just too vulnerable out there. Too much can happen. So it does argue for private spaces, for subscriber-only content. And that, you know, we're already seeing that happen in local news where subscriber revenue is becoming more important than advertising revenue for a completely different reason. But it could be that users get more value out of what they pay for.
Well, then what about the kids who want to be YouTubers, who think that this is a sort of a path to fame? You know, what should we be telling parents or doing as parents?
Yeah, the ethics of it are like what we let children do. I mean, and maybe the whole idea of letting children at all become little business people is warped. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sort of like when you look at child entertainers and you're thinking, I wonder if that kid really is not being manipulated by people around him.
Right. And in this case, it's so It's easy to draw this connection to the fact that YouTube makes money if we exploit our children or ourselves. But with it, you know, in the case of kids, what they are opened up to is so much worse. I mean, at least if they're on television, these comments are not showing up on their shows.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, multiple way communication is bad for children generally.
Kelly McBride is Senior Vice President with the Poynter Institute for Media Studies. One other interesting note, YouTube said that when it does allow videos featuring children to have comments, it will require the owner of the video channel to monitor those comments more closely. And now for some related links. I don't want to discount the fact that YouTube disabling comments on any of its videos, let alone millions, is in fact a big deal and a pretty strong move. It speaks to just how much pushback the platform has gotten over the past couple of years over the experiences that kids have on YouTube. Those range from insanely inappropriate videos being planted on YouTube Kids to accusations that its recommendation algorithm, where it suggests videos for you to keep watching, is designed to addict very young children and also tends to lead them down a rabbit hole to terrible content really fast. Plus, it keeps rewarding and promoting the world's worst people like Logan and Jake Paul. At the end of the day, there's not a lot of incentive for YouTube to do anything drastic to the way the product works. It's supported by advertising, and that advertising depends on video views, and all these problems are created by the push for views. But considering the moves YouTube has made to clean things up over the past few months, it seems like the angry advertisers might be starting to make a dent in the incentives. Now, before we go, I want to give a huge shout out and a sad farewell to Matt Purdy. He is off to more adventures after an amazing turn producing marketplace tech for the past 5 months or so. Matt, you are awesome and we'll always have our parrot days. That's a Slack joke. Stephanie Hughes is back and producing the show every day. Eve Tro is our senior producer. Sarah Bruguer and Dan Powell are the engineers. I'm Molly Wood. This is APM.
I'm Shepard from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I listen to Marketplace several times, actually every day, because it's got the economic news and developments that are important to me. I donate to Marketplace so that it can be available to everyone, and I hope you'll join me in this effort. Thanks.
To join Shepard as a Marketplace investor, donate online at marketplace.org.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.